advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Hey, all the fuck-faced peasants out there, it's Friday. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy?
I'm happy.
Aren't you happy and it's Friday?
You know who's not a fuck-faced peasant?
Who?
Carrie and Marley, who gave us the Blanton's whiskey, because I'm drinking it right now and it's fucking delicious.
Makes us feel rich.
I'm drinking Curtis Fields nectar.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's what we'd say when that happened.
Yeah.
And you know who else isn't a fuck-faced peasant?
Who?
Griff Griffin. He's not a fuck-faced peasant anymore because he pledged on our patron.
You don't
say. Is that how you say it? Patreon?
Indeed.
He's a patron that pledged on our patron. Patreon?
Indeed.
Yes, there you go.
Okay. So, yeah. Thank you, Griff Griffin. He actually wrote a small message to us when he put in his pledge and said that he's actually a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober for 3 days.
Well, that's nice.
6 hours. And 17 minutes.
Until this episode. Until we talked about
well,
right
this
away.
Well, yeah, that's kind of why I brought this up. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't want any hard feelings. I didn't want, he's actually a newer listener.
I love it when you brung shit up.
Yeah,
I
brung it up.
Every time you brung it up, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I brung it. You know, so I was asked to brung it.
Oh,
that's
yes.
what I was asked to do.
Yeah.
So I did. Yeah, so he's been sober for the last 3.5 days, roughly, almost 4 days, which congratulations, Griffin. We appreciate it. And wait a minute, is this? Oh no, that's Cliff from the UK. Okay, no, this is Griff. Okay, I was getting mixed up. So
who's Cliff?
Cliff, the guy who called about Tyrone's old pal.
Right.
Yeah. So thank you, Griff. I hope you don't go on a drinking binge. He said the last like 18 years of his life had been just a train wreck. He had 6 different wives. Has 17 kids.
Wow.
All by those different wives.
Wives,
some
plural.
Wives. Yeah, yeah, wives. And some were from just women he had met, just crack whores, you know, walking around.
He brung them to the bar.
He brung them there.
Yeah.
Or they might have brung him, one or the other. So he doesn't really remember. So he's paying all this child support out. I mean, a lot of child support. I think he said about $1,800 a month in child support. Some of them are older than, you know, they don't get child support anymore. But he's still pledging $632  a month.
That's legit.
Our highest Patreon.
You could buy a lot of hot sauce.
$632, which is specific. I don't know if we'll get that much next month, but we want to thank you, Griff, Mr. Griffin, for pledging that money. And that's going to go to buying more whiskey for us. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll drink it just in, you know, we'll try and vicariously through you. You'll be drinking this. Yeah.
I like this.
You'll be drinking it vicariously through us. Sorry, I got that mixed up.
Vicarious is like vicarious.
Yeah, you'll be drinking it vicariously. Yeah.
You're really enthused about it, about something someone else is doing, but you're curious about what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So just want to thank you, Griff. Appreciate it and hope you can continue the pledge and you know, well-being to all your family and, you know, make sure that everybody's good and hopefully you still know all your kids and everything's good. So
someone, we apologize if we didn't get to your emails. Like there are some emails that we had not gotten to. We're good at social media, but then we realized that we have an inbox and it was full of stuff from like all kinds of shit. And we have a secret intern.
A lot of inboxes.
We will not speak their name. They are known as the Watcher. And so if you get any correspondence from the Watcher, that's our administrative assistant intern that is going by the name the Watcher.
We have two actually. We have two new employees.
The new employee does not have a name yet. We have to. That person probably wants to pick their own. They're very creative.
Yes. Yeah. So yes, we have the Watcher, and then we also have another new person that we have on board, who's not yet started yet, but we've talked to them and yeah. Things are looking good.
I'm willing to say right now
things are going to change.
We can just call them Nipples.
Oh, might be down.
Actually, it's us. We can give them a name.
Yeah,
if that's the
you're name, identifying Nipples. A sex. I don't even know that it's a he or a she.
It's a shim.
It's a shim.
But all shims, sheenus. All shims have
call them Sheenus.
All shims have
Sheenus
Nipples.
Princess Warrior. That's true. That might be their name.
So, El Yucateco. I tried a it's too fucking hot to cook anything recipe. Cause like all like through this whole heat wave, like midday, I just go get something to eat and go. And I normally don't eat out. It's not something I do, but I'm just like, I'd rather go out and be hot as balls from going out into the horrible heat and then come back into a cool house than cook instead something and eat up the whole fucking house. So this, I was like, I'm going to be researching all day. I'm not going to have time to go out. And I just like took dry pasta, poured it in my slow cooker, poured like two bottles of sauce and some vegan sausage and some olives in it, and just fucking put it on low and set it in the corner and ignored it all day. And I didn't fucking boil the pasta. I didn't do shit. I was like, fuck it. This better
soak
work.
Soak that shit up.
Like this yeah. better. And I added about a cup of water just to yeah. give it a little more liquid. And I set it and forget it. And I went back and like right before we came down here, I scooped it out. The pasta was tender. I made a bowl. The sauce was kind of bland. Like the sauce that I used mm-hmm. wasn't great sauce because I didn't make my own because it was too fucking hot. But I just put like the red standard El Yucateco in it. Fucking amazing. Like it just
it was a marinara
it elevated
sauce.
It. Yeah.
I would not have thought to put red El Yucateco in like a marinara style thing.
It elevated it in ways I did not predict and can't. Like it was so fucking. Because before I was like, I don't know about. Like it wasn't bad, but there was nothing at all. And then I hit it with the red El Yucateco.
So it was like a spaghetti almost. Sausage mm-hmm. marinara and yep. pasta.
And it was like a.
Gotcha.
It's almost a macaroni. I forget what it's called. It's not quite macaroni.
Elbow but macaroni. Like,
but I just threw it in a crock pot,
let's
left
call
it for
let's
hours.
Call it Fiesta macaroni. There you go. It's like Mexican Italian.
There you go. Yeah, it was delicious. It didn't heat my house up, and it was ingredients I had sitting in the cupboard.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
So you can cook dry pasta in a crock pot, and you can throw El Yucateco on it and take it up a notch.
I never do the crock pot thing. I really should.
I don't like crock pot foods.
Well, chili verde. Like, how do you make chili verde?
I just make it in a pot.
Yeah, but not right then. Like, you just sit there and make it real time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't like pot sticker. I don't like crock pot food. It all has a weird, like, it has a weird taste to it. I don't know how to explain it. It all has this same, like, weird taste to it.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe your crock pot's BPA non-free. Yeah.
No.
It's maybe glass. It's taint. Maybe your crock pot's made entirely of taint.
It's taint? Yeah. It might.
By tainted. Know. Yeah.
I don't know what a real taint tastes like, but if it tastes like that, I don't like it. No, I don't. I don't know.
I still remember.
Yeah. No, that's because you were eating crazy my taint. Night. Yeah, you're eating my taint. I don't know my taint. I didn't kiss you afterwards. If
I
you remember
felt something. There was contact down there. I don't know what was touching my taint, but
that was the octopus.
Oh, yeah, that's tentacle.
Yeah,
tentacle.
Yeah, it was tentacle.
So if you're in a hot climb and don't want to heat your house up, just throw a bunch of shit in a crock pot and leave it on.
I don't even want to cook in my house because like I live in a fucking old house and there's not an exhaust hood. There's not even a vent. So even making like a fucking DiGiorno or some shit is drama. Like my fucking house gets hot from turning the oven on.
Yeah. Fuck turning the oven on. That's not happening.
Yeah.
We turned the oven on.
Even cooking on the fucking stove.
Today we made a cake. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. But you're in a house that has like proper ventilation and shit.
My house stays cool.
Mine is not. It's not okay.
It warms up a little bit, but it cools down quick.
Yeah.
So
mine's like Hansel and Gretel and shit. That's what kind of insulation I got. It was insulated by Hansel and Gretel.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. What did they use?
The roof was made by forest people.
By forest people?
Yeah. They used gingerbread and candy canes. Hmm. Yeah. Handicaps.
Interesting. Okay. Handicaps.
They use handicaps.
How'd they get up there?
Ladders.
Yeah.
Hooks and ladders.
Yeah.
Chutes and ladders.
They used chutes and ladders.
Yeah. One of the guys had a hook. He was handicapped.
Yeah.
He had to use his hook to climb the ladder. That's where I'm going with this.
So speaking of hooks, our topic today is El Chapo.
Yeah.
It's been on the leaderboards of topics for quite a while.
I don't even look at that thing anymore.
Yeah, I look at it. It's usually under numbers stations.
Yeah. And we were just discussing number stations and how that will never get talked about.
It's never going to get talked. It's very interesting for like 90 seconds.
Yeah. I say we,
if you're like an ADD kid,
we do it in addition to whatever we're going to do. Like we just fucking call it extra.
Okay. Let's talk about it real quick. Number stations. There, it's over. We did it. Okay. Mark that off the list.
Ta-da.
Ding, 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 ding.
So speaking of number stations,
El Chapo, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman Loera.
Archibaldo.
But most people would refer to him as Guzman until he becomes El Chapo.
He was Chapo for a while.
I call him Shorty. That's how we roll, though. Just mean, he goes by Shorty.
Until he got his superpowers and was renamed El Chapo. But he was born in a very small town of Badiraguato in Mexico. No one seems to agree on his birth date. Some people say April 4th, 1957. Some people were saying December 25th, 1954. I read two other dates that weren't as prominent, but sometime.
I think he was just trying to roll like Jesus. He's trying to be the Jesus of Jesus for December 25th.
Yeah.
He just started a rumor.
He just threw it out on that day. Yeah. But so sometime in the 50s, he was born, just to give you an idea. And he was
roughly mid 50s.
Yeah. He was born to. A poor family because it's a very poor area, and there's pretty much a couple of sources of income for anyone who lives in that area, and they are farming or farming drugs. Like those are your two options. You're either farming something legal or you're farming something illegal or working somehow in that trade. But apparently, so I didn't read a whole lot about his dad. I read that he was in the drug trade in some way.
He was a cattle farmer, but he may have been something called like a gomero, which was an opium farmer.
And they grow. So
it was possible.
He definitely had like a small piece of land. They grew their own food. They had cattle because El Chapo even talks about growing up, feeding the cows and doing all this different stuff. But I think people just assumed if you've got a plot of land in that area of Mexico, you were probably also growing poppies. And probably just selling them directly to the cartel, which at the time it would have been the Guadalajara cartel, which oversaw that area. But I don't know if that's what his dad was doing.
He started his entire empire selling chiclets.
Chicle? Yeah,
I read that. Yeah,
he did. Like he sold chicle and oranges and sodas on the roadside. That was what El Chapo did. But his dad was very abusive. Some said that he El Chapo got his like violent streak from his father, and that he got his ability to fight by standing up for his other siblings and taking ass whoopings from his dad. But he loved his mom. His mom was really close to him, etc. And one thing that I read, and this just speaks of the rural nature of where he grew up, there was no school for 60 kilometers. So he only learned when the traveling teachers would show up in their village
for 3 months.
What the
fuck? And then move on. Yeah. Well, I mean, what was their expectation? Like, what did they think was going to happen? Right. He was just going to be a cattle farmer or grow opium. They didn't really have
a precedent
set for education, you know, in that area. That's just how it was.
I still figure there'd be like some kind of a small schoolhouse where you'd still want your kids to
secretly imposing religion on them.
I mean, if it would be anything else. You grew up in a ghetto and you want to make money. Like, what do? Like, all these gangsters are selling drugs. Like, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I mean, this is the same thing that he gets mixed up with.
Right.
Hey, I'm selling drugs. Like, now I'm becoming part of this cartel. Like, that's just what you get into. Like,
and I mean, even in an area that
can't really fault him.
Right. In an area that rural, I doubt it was even, look, I'm making drugs and selling them to people. He was probably growing poppies and selling them directly to the cartel who would take them and go out and manufacture them. I mean, that would, or marijuana. A lot of stuff I read said that he was probably also growing marijuana.
It said he did go deliver and sell marijuana for sure. Yeah.
Well, and that was part of his first stages of getting into the bigger cartel was he was doing marijuana.
Have you guys been to Mexico, right?
No.
No?
Yes.
No, it's too dark.
You never been to like Tijuana?
No, too dark.
Expand upon that, Brad. What do you mean by that?
He only travels north.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Mexico.
Yeah, I'm so white. You could see my veins and blood running through me.
El Norte.
Yeah.
So
that's what they call me.
You've been to Mexico.
My Mexican name. Thank you, Dave.
What would you say the average height of one of the people there is?
A lot shorter than me.
5'8".
Yeah. So like he gets the nickname
Shorty.
El Chapo in his adolescence as Shorty. He's 5'6". Like, that's pretty fucking, like, tall as far as
what I kind of thought the same thing.
Like, being in Mexico.
Like, that's not, it didn't, that doesn't seem like an abnormally short.
Maybe they weren't talking about his height.
Area.
No. Maybe they weren't talking about his height.
They're talking about his.
He had a short taint.
You know, down.
His ball sack was really close to his butthole. Short taint.
Jesus Christ. I was talking about his toes.
No, I'm talking about his taint. That's a crippling condition. Oh, yeah. People are affected worldwide. Yeah. And for just 29 like, cents a day, it's like, you can help save a short taint.
So, like, you've seen webbed feet, but have you ever seen a webbed taint?
Yeah.
Like, this is the bad horrible. Condition. Yeah. They need horrible. To be snipped right away. Yeah.
If you don't snip the fucking taint web when they wipe for the rest of your life, it's a sanitary issue.
Every time you get in the lake or wherever the swimming pool, if there's a current, you always float sideways. It's like a fucking sail. This is horrible.
Steer with it.
Yeah.
Like a human paddle boat.
Yeah. It is an absolutely crippling position.
When their boat would break, you'd be like, Chapo to the back. He has to teabag the river.
Oh, shit. We're all going
to die. Get to the water and squirm.
I didn't want to get this far, but we're all dead.
Squirm, little one.
He's the rudder.
You can log on to tainteraid.org, and for just 29 cents a day, you can save a taint on tainteraid.org.
It's amazing how expensive they are to clip. I don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, it's 29 cents a day the rest of their life.
They have to re-snip every day.
Oh, it grows back.
It only costs 29 cents per snip.
Nah. Jesus Christ, we're dead.
If nobody bought, I hope somebody buys that domain, tainteraid.org. Oh man, it's gone right now, probably. Okay. I'll look it up.
So, yeah.
That's taken.
Yeah.
Tainteraid?
That's a porn site, for sure.
So, in his early teens, again, he started to grow his own stash. He started to sell. He started to work for the drug cartels.
You know why, though? His dad, they would go sell all that weed and poppies, and his dad would spend the entire fucking proceed on women and alcohol. He would go and get hookers and alcohol and come home empty-handed. And he got so angry with his dad's mismanagement of the fucking money of them all going without that at the age of 15, he started growing his own crops.
Right.
And then got with like four of his like cousins and or brothers, and they did their own business at 15.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're forced to. Like, that's all you have.
Yep.
Like, that's where this kind of gets murky, because you have this guy who's labeled, you know, one of the FBI's most wanted men in America, you know, because of the drug trafficking and stuff. And yeah, he did do a lot of shitty stuff.
Fuck yeah.
But
how would you spell taint? T-A-I-N-T? Taint?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Tainted. Yeah. Tainted.com. Yeah. And, you know, they really growing up, I guess you do have a choice, but it's either be poor and probably not live and don't fucking have any food, or you sell this fucking marijuana, which is not a really big deal where they're at. It's not made as bad as it is here.
You've got some fucking piece of shit father who's like spending all the money on hookers and booze.
Yeah, and fucking gray-lipped fucking women.
and you've got five siblings and a mom who are doing without.
He's trying to take care of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to do, you really can't fault him at this point for what he did, you know?
At this, like, I'm on board at this point.
Yeah. No, because, and even
there's a certain line you cross.
No, but you know what though? Like, even later on, none of the I'm not going to say none. There was people he killed that didn't have, you know, they were innocent.
Sure.
But a lot of the people that he killed were just other bosses, other fucking fuckfaces.
No, I'm sure that was a lot of
it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and really, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not, you know, saying that everything he did was okay,
right?
But you know, like, really on the level, like, it's not all that crazy, you know.
A lot of
if he didn't do it, somebody else is gonna do it.
We'll get, I mean, long story, but we'll get to where Sean Penn comes in, And Sean Penn even says, like, when he was interviewing him,
he goes by Sean Pluma,
Sean Puma,
Pluma, that's.
But Sean Penn said that he couldn't ever get past the sense that this guy was 100% business. He was like, this guy, you know, I mean, what does fucking Sean Penn know? But he was like, this guy doesn't kill people because he gets off on it. He's not killing people because he's violent. Like, this is business, period. And they're like, that's
And if you watch Sean Penn's interview, he did like a 60-minute interview, and his goal was just to start the conversation of like, hey, let's accept some responsibility for this.
Right.
He wants to get that discussion going and saying like, who's buying this shit? It's right. us.
Yeah,
like,
we can't blame this
we
guy.
We buy 80% of the world's cocaine. Yeah,
right. Like, and who started this it? Shit. Who started it?
Yeah.
The CIA.
And right. the, and it's like, congratulations. And we see through like those filmmakers, like that one documentary I watched, they go 13 years saying that they can't catch that motherfucker. And then two filmmakers just go find him. Sean Penn goes and finds him. You
well,
know what I mean?
It's rougher than that though. We'll get to Sean Penn. Like him finding him was kind of a weird thing.
Those filmmakers found him. I mean, and they document the finding of him. Like, and it wasn't that crazy. You know what I mean? You know, they could fucking find
him. The government
him.
Knows where he was at.
Yeah.
They know.
That's that's the alleged thing, is that they know where he's at. They're not catching him on purpose. He's moving that shit through.
Yeah. I suspect
they profit
so. From
that's the war on
so.
Drugs. Yeah.
So when he's still young in the 1970s, he basically starts to work with another young drug dealer, a guy named Hecnar Luis Palma Salazar, and he starts to work for the Guadalajara cartel, and he starts to become basically a logistics guy. Like, he started coming up with the systems of more efficient ways for them to get drugs to and from, and he wasn't a boss by any means, but he worked directly for Miguel Angel Felix Gallardo, who was the founder of the Guadalajara cartel, and he starts basically running, he becomes a very high-ranking person in this cartel, in charge of all the logistics. And to say logistics, that kind of waters it down, but all the fucking smuggling, all the paying of the local farmers, all the like of a fucking, you know, multinational drug cartel.
Because at that point,
he's young
was,
El Chapo. He's still in his 20s.
Yeah.
And he was in charge because he was a genius about ways to move product.
Yeah. And but at this point, he still wasn't a boss. You know,
no,
like the bosses had their own territories.
Yep.
And Mexico was like the secondary routes. Like, they were still smuggling stuff through Florida. Like, they were coming.
Yeah. It was
Colombia
still the Medellin cartel. Like, they were the they were the number one cartel. That was the number one cartel.
Yeah, the Gulf cartel. Yeah.
Yeah. But Mexico, the cartels weren't quite as large.
Yeah.
The Gulf cartel, they weren't even scary. Golf carts and they'd be the club.
You know, not scary at all. But so he didn't do a whole lot. But then when his boss, his kingpin Gallardo, gets arrested in 1985 because he murders an American drug, a DEA agent. So he gets brought down. And then basically that's where El Chapo gets a chance to shine, because they split up Gallardo's territory.
So,
and Chapo gets a chunk of it.
And, and this is, I don't know how true this is. I told you guys I started watching that the El Chapo Netflix series. And I watched the first few episodes, and it got to this point.
You said it was pretty good, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's all subtitled.
So is it true, like, the whole thing is just filmed in Spanish?
It's all filmed in Spanish. They all speak Spanish. It's all subtitled. It's really good though. Like,
is
I actually
Narcos
got drawn
like
into
it.
Not Narcos isn't, I don't think.
Okay.
No. And it goes from the beginnings of him. He's actually trafficking marijuana for Angelo. Mm-hmm. And he keeps asking him like, hey, when are you going to make me a boss? And he's like, no, you're not ready. And he's pissed. Like, Chapo's pissed. And so he basically goes to Colombia, meets Pablo Escobar on his own. And like I said, I don't know how true this is or where they got the story from, but it seems to line up with like how this kind of goes.
Right.
I don't know if they kind of, you know, made it a little more romanticized it or not, but he goes, meets Pablo Escobar and says, hey, I can move this cocaine faster than this other guy who is currently doing it. Like, give me a chance. And he's like, I can do it in 3 days. And he's like, the other guy can do it in 3 days. He's just fucking lazy. And he's like, 48 hours. And he's like, deal. He's like, you know what happens though, if you fail me,
right?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's like, he's going to die, you know? So literally it goes to this, he has a tunnel dug, and they basically run into all these issues trying to get these drugs across, but he makes the shipment in 48 hours, goes back, talks to Escobar, you know, boom, you're good, you know? So he's ready to go. Well, and Angelo's pissed. He's upset because he went around him.
Right.
But this is all right in the same spot where he gets arrested. And once he's in prison or once he's jailed, he knows they're not letting him go. And the actual Mexican government are the ones who are making the calls now, because the president is wanting to be in charge of all these drugs.
Right.
So he sets up Chapo with the Tecate. So he's like the leader of the Tecate area.
The best, worst beer ever.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they have a meeting basically, and the attorney sets up, you know, all of these guys and says, hey, here's your new, you know, here's your territories. This is what's going to be. And now Chapo is known as a boss. And then from there, it just, he just starts fucking tearing shit up.
And I did read in one of the, I think it was, he's only done a couple of interviews, but I think it was the interview that Sean Penn did. And at one point he's asked, did you meet Pablo Escobar? And his response was something like, yes, many times. He had a fabulous house.
Yeah.
Like that was his.
Response. Like I said, I don't know how true
right.
to the story. I mean, like I said, they might have made it a little more action packed, sure, you know, than it was. But I think the base storyline is pretty much true.
I don't know if much of his story needs to be made more action packed.
Right. Yeah. Like, but I mean, like I said, from what they portray in that series so far, he has killed some people, you know, that were innocent. Like he said, all the people who dug the tunnel to kill him because nobody can know where that tunnel's at.
If anyone showed up with a late drug like delivery, he just shot him straight in the head himself.
Yeah.
That's how he made his name.
Well, yeah, because they're going to kill him right. if he doesn't keep his right. timeline.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean, it's pretty much you don't fail Pablo Escobar, and he's being held accountable by these bigger drug lords.
Is he the silver or lead, or was that the other one we did when he offers you money or bullets or whatever, like you want money or I'll kill you.
No, I think that was Escobar.
Escobar.
That was Escobar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he ends up starting like the group that he gets, he calls the Sinaloa cartel because that's the region that yeah. he's from. And he starts to build up the Sinaloa cartel. And by the 90s, he was pretty much on the radar for DEA, FBI, one of Mexico's most powerful traffickers. Like he was on a fast track to just fucking dominating because he was so good at that logistic end of things. He was so good at how to run an international cartel and how to get everyone pulled together. And that was exactly what he
fucking did. He's good at dealing with people.
Yeah.
His people yeah. skills.
He's a people person.
Yeah.
When the Medellin cartel starts to crash and burn because Escobar gets arrested, Sinaloa fills the void, right? So he ends up taking all of the cocaine trafficking that they originally did. He takes it on to the Sinaloa cartel and he starts. So he, instead of just coke, which is primarily what the Medellin cartel did, he's trafficking heroin, pot, meth, and coke. So he's like, you know, opening up his market way more.
They were even doing stuff out of Asia, like meth out of
that was
Asia.
That was the heroin. Yeah. Heroin was out of Southeast Asia.
That was?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he learned a lot about how to perfect the heroin, even though he didn't do it as much because he could make money from lower quality heroin anyway. Right.
It started making me think about something like people who fucking buy coke, like, that's where it came from.
Yep.
And you start thinking about the supply chain of where it came from and how much do you fucking trust wherever the fuck that was,
right.
like who made it, what chemical was right. in it. It got stuffed in a bag, Ziploc, freezer with? Sack, cut with something, fucking taped with packing tape,
stuck shoved up in a donkey's ass.
Yeah.
Shoved into the back of a car, driven yeah. across the fucking border. Yep. Some dope dealer locally got it and then recut it with fucking something yep. else and you buy it from your buddy or whatever and then you snort that shit. And
yeah.
Like, what the fuck did you yeah. really just snort?
Right.
That's why it's best to grow it yourself and make it yourself.
Yeah, just make your own cocoa.
That's why meth heads, yeah, I mean, you know, hey, every once in a while the studio goes up in flames, but, you know.
But we got our own product. Yeah. You know?
Lighter fluid and cold medicine, man. Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
Truckers love it.
So at his height.
You know there's a thing you can buy at the store called Truckers Love It?
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. In a movie where they make meth. They use Truckers Love It. They cut the meth with Truckers Love
I've
It.
I've seen that shit at Fast Trip. There's yeah. really like an energy pill called Truckers Love It.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
One thing I read was that in 2009, and this is, I don't trust these numbers and I don't know.
We never do.
How accurate any of them are, but it said that Sinaloa was making $3 billion a year, through the early 2000s. And I just don't know how you can know that. And it seems like it was probably more. Yeah.
Probably because the CIA think about this though.
How did Forbes
know
how much Chapo's was worth?
Right.
You know what I mean? He's always in the most wealthy people. He's like 10th most wealthy in Mexico.
At the time they put him up as one of the wealthiest people. One thing that I read that Forbes does is they have a list of like the top 100 most important people on earth. And at his highest, El Chapo was number 67.
I think 55.
Was it 55? The one I read 55. Was 67. Either way, when you break the top 100 most influential people. No, it
was between the years of 2009 and 2011, he was ranked 41st, 60th, and 55th.
Fuck.
In that range, yeah.
So you got some clout.
But as rich as he was still only 1,140th in the world.
Yeah. Well, his net worth was roughly $1 billion.
Well, he's not Bill Gates rich.
Yeah, you can't compete with Kissing Cousins. Kissing Cousin eyes.
Yeah.
Rothschilds. He was he was only the 10th richest man in Mexico. All that money is only the 10th richest?
Yeah. He wasn't the biggest drug dealer in Mexico.
No, he was the biggest drug dealer in Mexico. That just tells you how corrupt the other
guy. No, he wasn't the biggest drug dealer in Mexico.
He was the shortest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for years, the richest guy on earth was from Mexico. He was the Carlos Slim.
Yeah, telecommunications. Carlos Slim.
He ran if you had TV, satellite, or a cell phone in Mexico, like anytime you go into a Vallarta and it's like, oh, buy a calling card, like give this money directly to Slim. Yeah. So,
well, and it says the USDA considered him the godfather of the drug world and strongly estimates he surpassed the influence and reach of Pablo Escobar.
I don't doubt it.
And the Chicago Crime Commission labeled him public enemy number one in Chicago. So that's pretty crazy.
And prior to that, they said the last person to receive such notoriety was Al Capone in the 1930s. Right. So
to say that he has as much clout in Chicago as Al Capone did in the 30s when the motherfuckers never left Mexico is pretty fucking deep.
Pretty substantial.
Yeah, that's a substantial claim on El Chapo. I read, and I didn't know this, apparently all of his sons are just directly in the business. Like, there's no bullshit in it. It's not like, oh, I'm doing this so my family doesn't have to get involved. Like, they're involved.
Yep.
He had one son who wasn't directly in the drug business.
He had two wives.
He had three wives.
Yeah. Well, at once.
One of his kids, named Edgar, was apparently not directly involved in the business. He ran like a bunch of like garbage dumps or something, which I'm sure was somehow involved.
Yeah,
but he wasn't part of the cartel. He wasn't a drug dealer. He wasn't like directly involved in it. And apparently he got killed when he was 22. Over 40 gunmen shot him dead in May of 2008 from rival cartels.
Damn. So you wonder why Chapo's mad.
Yeah. And like, apparently from that point on, I guess Chapo just went like doubled down on his violence.
Well, in the very beginning too, once he got made a boss, one of the other guys shot his like right-hand man. And that kind of is where he where he started taking over shit, because they did that. And he was like, these motherfuckers, they want to degrade me. And then they shoot my fucking guy. Right. He's like, fuck these guys. So, and then this happens with his son, like later on, it's just a constant war.
And the other thing that, did you guys see the thing about the cardinal?
Huh.
So there was a cardinal named Cardinal Posadas, who was the cardinal for obviously Rome in that area. He was traveling through that area. And when he was at the Guadalajara International Airport in 93, two different drug cartels shot him dead in the airport because they thought he was Guzman. They thought he was El Chapo.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, he looked like El Chapo. He had, like, there were cars waiting out front to take him. He had, like, special security meet him at the airport. Apparently, he must have had a sweet, like, El Chapo stash. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Child molester mustache.
But, like, they just flat out murdered a cardinal.
This guy does not look like El Chapo.
Hey, they thought that was him. Maybe they don't know what fucking El Chapo looks like either. He's like fucking Kaiser Sose.
This guy. Let me just open this picture. Does that guy look like El Chapo?
Nope.
No.
Not in any way.
Not even.
It had to just be.
And I'm not even friends with El Chapo.
Maybe El Chapo was on his way. Maybe they just saw some dude with security getting into some fucking big dope SUVs and they were like, that's got to be El Chapo. Let's take him.
And maybe, yeah, the whole like urban legend folklore that had happened. There was like every song that everybody sings, like the whole documentary is all these songs about him. Like just super like there's legendary. Like all the,
He's like he's like this total Robin Hood figure down there. It's like they,
well, yeah, because he's, I mean, it's just like kind of like the Hitler episode. Not to get on to say that this person's a great person or whatever, but when they do stuff for the people that nobody else is doing for them,
you're gonna
they're going to like them. Like they're not hurting the people in any way; they're helping them.
But he's responsible and that's for where like they get single-handedly this. Starting like the breaking like the peace between the cartels and starting a war. Like in Juarez, there was like something since 2009, 60,000 people have been murdered as a result of the drug war. In like Juarez, Mexico,
or something
between the cartels. Yeah. 60,000 people—that's fucking crazy. Yeah. So,
but if you don't live in Juarez, and you're
that's some like fucking, a weekend in Chicago. Yeah,
exactly. If you're like some dirt farmer in the middle of nowhere, and you're getting paid fucking top dollar for growing fucking poppies, then El Chapo might be your hero.
It was crazy. They're like they're talking about how many killings and how many people are executed annually. Like it's like 2,500 people were killed. Like I don't know, in a fucking couple months or something.
Yeah. That's not all him though.
And then they show all the cartels. As a result of the war though, and he's the one that kind of broke that because he killed one of the other cartel leaders.
They kind of started it though. Kids. Like that's what I'm saying though. They kind of started it. They killed.
No, it was because he wanted to take over some territory. I can't remember what it was. There's something called the Crossroads or something. And the other guy that was in charge of it, he went and killed the wife and, and kids at the mall.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah. And then in retaliation, they killed Sonny Corleone outside of the car stand.
They go pull him back in, man. Just when he thought.
It was rough. And he had to kill his brother Fredo, like a whole.
Yeah, it got crazy.
Fredo took the ring to the mountain. I think you're getting confused.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't know why he didn't just call the Eagles.
No, I don't.
He would just call the Eagles.
Like, or at least the Eagles of Death Metal, like something. He could have called any popular rock band.
And they would have flown him over the mountain.
Right,
just drop it in the fire. Done.
Yep. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I would go along with it, but.
Nothing.
I was trying at first.
It's good on this side. Like, that's what I look like all the time when I don't know what's going on. It's not that bad, though.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Feels good. We got to throw you a bone every once in a while.
All right.
Yeah. I don't mind being outside the loop. It's fine.
I'll bone you every once in a while.
That's fine.
We'll throw it to him. So I wanted to look into like looking at the sort of the height of the Sinaloa cartel because he was famous for, like I said, his logistics and his crazy fucking smuggling techniques and the ways that he would get shit out of Mexico into the United States. And I had read that at the height, he was responsible for something like 50% of the illegal drugs in America. Like his fucking cartel.
That's a lot.
That's why I think
they would smuggle in like 2 tons at a time.
That's why I think $3 billion is bullshit. Like that seems like so low.
It said by 2014, his arrest, that they had smuggled more than 500 tons of cocaine into the U.S. alone.
He almost beat the CIA.
Yeah, close. It was a close second.
Well, close second.
Because who do you give credit to?
Yeah.
They flew
in. Right, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Came on a plane, came on a train.
So he's known for his tunnels, right? And a lot of drug enforcement agents said that if you look at anywhere on the border of Mexico where there's like a city bumping up against a city, they said that the entire, like, it's just lousy with tunnels. Like, there's just tunnels everywhere. But they said
you might fall.
Yeah.
You might fall.
They said that when you would discover a tunnel, you instantly knew it was a Sinaloa cartel tunnel because it was a fucking super tunnel.
Yeah.
Like everything else was some ghetto ass tunnel that was dug and like kept
a mold,
up.
Like a giant mold.
Exactly. But his were like lined in concrete, designed by engineers.
Looked like Indiana Jones tunnels.
They had ventilation systems.
Yeah.
They had railroad tracks and they would put motorcycles, like customized motorcycles on the railroad tracks.
There's a mini Vice doc on that tunnel. That from the one that allegedly goes from the construction site to the eventual prison that he allegedly escapes from.
Yeah.
And it's like over a mile. And they show the motorcycle. Well, the thing that was a motorcycle that they fucking Nacho Libre'd into a train to like on a miner's
cart. And it wasn't just that they had to make it a train. They had to make it a train. They had to make it run on low oxygen because there's not very much air.
Yeah.
Like they had to that particular tunnel, his jailbreak tunnel, he sent his tunnel engineers to Germany to study for 3 months with mining engineers.
See, there's some conspiracy stuff about that. They say that a lot of people think no way did he actually escape through that tunnel, that they just fucking let him out. Like there's a a prison guy that probably was in a cell like 8 cells down from him, and he was in the same area of the prison. And he said, there's no fucking way that they come in daily and inspect you. They take you out, you strip naked, you lift your balls, you lift your dick, they check everything, and they literally go in the cell with hammers and tap the wall to make sure there's no hollow spots.
Well, I don't think they do that in fucking El Chapo's prison.
No, this is a couple cells down. But the thing is, though, he paid the guards.
Right.
He paid the guards off.
Well, no, we'll get there when we get to the prison break. But I mean, everybody in the prison was fucking in on it.
The first one. That's the laundry one. Yeah. On the laundry one, everyone in the prison was in on it.
Yeah.
So some of the smuggling methods, right? There was, I read an article from a reporter from Business Insider, and he was at an impound yard that the Mexican government used to seize the Sinaloa cartel airplanes. And when he was there, there were over 100 airplanes.
Jesus.
Those were recently seized airplanes. That wasn't like, oh, here's his fleet. These are the ones we've caught recently that we haven't moved out of the warehouse yet.
On one of the documentaries, they had an armor-plated SUV, and it had like switches and buttons in it, and it would spray gas. I don't know what the gas was, out from under the wheel well by the front tires and shit. And then you flip switches, and like little compartments would open up in the car where guns or drugs could be. And I guess it hit one of the cartel's vehicles, but it was armor fucking plated in it. Looked like a normal SUV.
And
had poison gas like James Bond shit coming out from the tires. It was crazy.
It just sprayed pure cocaine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It just like got happy.
It's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. He had his own 747s. Like, it wasn't just that he's flying little bullshit Cessnas. He had fucking 747s that could take 13 tons of coke into the United States. He had a fleet of submarines that he had built in a shipyard, and they would each cost a couple of $100,000 to make. And apparently the reporter said they were the sketchiest fucking, like, you're just going to be underwater.
It's like a piece of PVC tubing. Piece of 8-foot round PVC tubing.
No, they don't look that. I mean, they look like a World War II sub. They're like well-crafted, look at them, and it's like a decent, solidly built sub.
You mean hot water heater.
Yeah. No, it's fucking big. Like, it was a significant...
No, I saw a
big
couple pictures. Them, yeah. No, yeah. But only 5'6", Dave.
Right. But I mean, to fucking get in that diesel-powered fucking death trap and load it full of a couple of tons of coke and try to get past the fucking Coast Guard with it? No thanks.
How did he see? Did they have some little sonar thing?
Like, he was a ballsy motherfucker. Window?
He did. He was.
Yeah.
They had...
They used old iPhones. Find my iPhone.
The quote on that show when he met Pablo Escobar said, "I heard you were small but spicy." Like, that's
They have dope drones, which they regularly run, and a lot of times they crash, and they usually carry about 20 or 30 pounds of drugs.
Damn, you carry a fucking baby with that. You carry like a fucking third grader.
They have catapults.
What kind of drone is that?
They showed it.
Big-ass drone.
Big-ass drone. 30 pounds? Yeah. Catapults. One method that they used was to freeze sharks. They would catch giant sharks and freeze them and stuff their dead bodies full of cocaine before they froze it. And then they said that it even threw off like a lot of sniffer dogs at a distance, because they would intentionally put the frozen sharks in a ship, fill it full of fish, let the fish start to go off by the time it got to shore. And then no one really wanted to inspect the ship full of dead fucking stinky fish. And then they would take out the frozen sharks that were in the middle of it, and they were full of fucking cocaine.
Dude, somebody posted in our group a picture of a pallet. Did you guys see that? It was a drug smuggling pallet, and they started chipping away with a fucking chisel. And it looked like normal wood pallet, and the pallet was somehow hollow, and it had fucking drugs inside the wood.
Inside planks. The wood, yeah.
But I was like, Jesus Christ! Like, they had to chip it away, and they were pulling out these packs of fucking drugs out of the middle of the pallet. But you know what a pallet looks like?
Yeah.
Like, they had to compose and press wood around it somehow.
Oh, they'll fucking do all that.
It looks so real.
Well, this
they
shit
have,
right here.
They
I,
have.
I know that people can't see it, but like that right there is one of the drug shipments. Like,
it's just like rows and rows.
It's fucking.
As
it looks
tall
like
as a person.
Well, think when you'd land a 747. What are they doing? Offloading fucking Louis Vuitton
bags? This is my other question. After these drugs have been seized, what's happening with them? They're not getting destroyed.
Probably
of
not.
Course they are. Our government wouldn't do anything illicit with those drugs.
It's fucking insane.
They have fake food. They would take entire shipments of carrots, and in the center of massive like blocks of carrots, they would just take carrot colored tape and wrap up big tubes of cocaine and put them in the middle of the carrots. They've done the same thing with pineapples, tomatoes, and watermelons. Yeah. And they bought a cannery in Guadalajara. Kept the same
brand. This will turn Brent on. Yeah, you got to look up the carrots.
Yeah, that's the carrot.
Damn.
So they bought a an existing cannery company that sold like spicy canned peppers to the United States. They completely swapped the operation out and filled all the cans with cocaine.
That's Breaking Bad. That's
completely fucking rinsed them out so that no drug sniffer could fucking smell anything. It's just a sealed tin can, and they would ship them to Mexican markets that the management was on payroll. When they got that shipment of spicy fucking peppers, they would put it to the side. Someone would pick it up off the loading dock that night, and there goes the he was like, fuck Jeff Bezos and Amazon, this motherfucker is the master of logistics.
I watched a documentary and they were showing like the agents at the border, like they're like, where have we not found drugs? He's like, in the ignition, that's it. He's like, they fucking put in the tires, right, no, everything. In the panels, in the headliner, he's like, they will like build the car around this shit,
so half, that like half the gas tank and all has so much gas
with like lead plates and shit. They're driving with kilos inside the rubber tires that are solid cocaine,
right,
and they're driving it across, like I said, they're just super ingenious.
And I mean, part of it, again, part of his genius was he realized like, oh, on the other side, I'm going to need American street gangs to sell my drugs to be able to offload it in large enough quantities. However, he didn't trust most of the street gangs. So he just fucking started street gangs.
Right.
Like he started Los Chacos, Los Texas, Los Lobos, Los Negros. He started creating.
Los Lobos?
Los Lobos.
That's Los Lobos and the Los Negros.
Yeah.
That's the black guys.
Yeah, that's
Negros.
True.
That's right. Actually, the Los Negros are actually the assassins that killed the other cartel's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, but no, he just starts fucking street gangs.
Los Lobos, who's beat up Johnny Five, though, in Short Circuit 2.
Los Lobos, what was
that? Los Lobos kick your balls.
Of the crazy,
Los Locos kick your face. Los Lobos kick your balls in outer space or some shit. That's Johnny Five. That's Short Circuit 2.
Well, I think
maybe it was Los Locos.
I think they played Los Locos. Yeah, I think that's Los Locos.
Los Lobos is a band.
It's a band, yeah. But so yeah, he just like in stateside, he would just create entire fucking street gangs. Like, and how hard would that be? Get a couple of fucking street thugs and be like, "Yo, fucking El Chapo wants you to fucking sell his coke. Get your homies
or
together,
or else you die."
Like, here's some guns, sell some shit, and you'd be like, "Fuck yeah,
yeah,
like,
you're making money."
Yeah. So, and then you've instantly got the backing of a cartel. Like, I mean, you're just he would just instant fucking street gangs as soon as he would need them because he knew the logistics. Like,
how do I get a hold of this guy?
Yeah, he can go to the prison that he's at.
Would we get in trouble for like giving our Patreon members like just kilos of cocaine?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. There kilos? Might be a law.
A lot.
I think there's like a limit. Like you can go under that limit. I think a kilo is good. I think if it's
a kilo is a cutoff?
Yeah, I think if it's 2.1 pounds, not 2.2.
Dude, you should have seen on one of the shows that I watched, they were taping up these little 1 pound bricks of meth. And it was the tiniest little it was like a brick. It was literally smaller than a brick.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is $5,500. He's like, this is going to feed a lot of families. He's like, let those fucking dope heads have it. And like tossed it into the pile after he taped it up. They're just sitting there with like a fucking VacuSeal infomercial, like steak fucking VacuSeal thing.
Yeah.
And then they're taping it up with packaging.
You're going to love these nuts.
You're going to love these nuts. You know, slap chop box that he put in. But literally $5,000 in his hand in this little tiny square.
Yep.
Like it looked like maybe like a stick of butter, like the 1 pound block of butter or whatever. Yeah. It's crazy. Yep.
Fuck. So his first arrest in 1993, Guatemalan authorities arrested him, and extradited him to Mexico. He's convicted and sentenced to maximum security prison for 20 years. And while he's there, his power does not wane at all. Like he's still the fucking shot caller. He's still in control of the cartel while he's in prison. He ends up getting constant conjugal visits. His lieutenants just fucking come in and get orders and leave. Like no one's giving a fuck. No one's watching the store in 1993.
I watched an interview with someone. I can't remember who had to meet him, but he said literally when he went to visit him in prison, he told him that before the meeting, he met him like later in the day. He said, I had a conjugal visit and then I had a bath and I took a nap so that I could prepare for this meeting because I wanted to be well rested when I spoke with you. So in prison, he had a fucking blowjob, like a bath, and a nap.
Yeah.
Before he met with some guy that he was going to talk to.
Right.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it was probably just easier.
That's like the Al Capone cell.
It's like, fuck it. I'm just like, why would I break out? Like they've got me. They can't arrest me. Like I'm already fucking running everything. Like fuck it. Like I'll just stay right here.
He probably gets whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Whatever he asks for, it fucking happens.
So, but at this point he does end up, he's there for quite a while. I mean, he got arrested in 93 and he doesn't break out until 2001. And this is, I mean, it couldn't be more. I mean, his prison breaks, like everybody's like, oh, he's so crafty with these prison breaks. It's like, this is about as crafty as putting a fucking file in a birthday cake. Like he fucking sneaks out in a laundry cart. Like yeah. That's some shit that you see in a bad prison break movie. It's like yeah. Every Tuesday they take the laundry cart out. I'll just hide under the dirty chonies and they'll take me right out of the prison.
Yeah. He paid everyone off. Like yeah. I think 70 people were involved when it was all said and done.
71 included. Including yeah. The warden.
And he's in jail.
Yeah.
The warden's in jail yeah. Now for his involvement.
In a real jail. Like, somebody's he's not getting. Yeah. Yeah. If there's blowjobs involving the warden, they're not pleasant. Yeah.
Yeah. They're from Hector.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, someone opened his cell, got him in the laundry cart, pushed him through several doors, right out the front door into a truck. They drove the truck somewhere and then he fucking took off on yep. Foot.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just paying to get out of prison.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Pretty much. So at this point, he's the number one drug target in the world. The U.S. government offers a $5 million reward for information that'll lead to his arrest.
The Mexican government offered an additional $3.8 million.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, on top of that, 60 million pesos.
So
that exchange rate's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
It's a lot. You have to have
so he's like the fucking, he's again, public enemy number one, even though it was much the same with the Medellin cartel. It's like the people have his back.
Yeah.
So while the government's looking for him, everybody in the villages, everyone where he's like paying the farmers all this money, they're not saying shit. Yeah. They have no reason to, because he's the one who puts fucking food on their plate, and B, they don't want to die.
Right.
So yeah. It's like those two things together are a pretty powerful incentive to hide.
I read there was like legendary stories of him just showing up into a restaurant with his men, and that his men would confiscate everyone's cell phones. He would sit down, order food, eat his meal, get up, and then pay for everyone's food in the whole restaurant and leave. Like, but he would take everyone's fucking cell phone right. And like, nobody fucking move.
Right.
I'm going to eat. And then he'd pay for everyone's food.
And then peace like, out.
Yeah, peace yeah. Out.
That's cool with me.
Yeah.
Good free meal.
I'd be like, damn it, I should have ordered the shrimp.
Should have got two chili verde burritos. Fuck.
Could have went
too,
big.
Is it too late to get dessert?
You see him walk in, you just start ordering shots.
Damn it, he went next door.
Should have got the buenuelos.
Yeah. Bring the Johnny Walker Blue to the table. We'll take the bottle.
We'll take the bottle.
You know what I didn't realize? Watching the episodes of the El Chapo, Patron means boss. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
You I did know that. I just never made that connection. I thought about that.
Yeah. Because, hey, Patron. They kept saying it. And I was like, Patron, like the tequila.
Jefe Patron.
Yeah. There was one of the guys was named Jefe of Jefes.
The boss of bosses.
Yeah. He's the Jefe of Jefes.
It's legit.
I was like, fuck.
So he ends up still running the cartel. Same thing. His second arrest, and this was the one that was much more recent, obviously, was in February of 2014. He's arrested in Mazatlan. And
what was he doing in Kazakhstan?
He's partying,
filming Borat 2.
Yeah. He's in that creepy mustache.
The Americans immediately tell the Mexican government that they want him to be sent to America because he has a history of breaking out of jails. The Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, said that Guzman would never escape again. And the Mexican president said, quote, it would be more than regrettable. It would be unforgivable for the government not to take precautions to ensure that what happened last time would not be repeated. So the president himself says this motherfucker is not getting out of jail. Cut to 18 months later, the motherfucker gets out of jail.
Yeah. And so this much is, for the president's word, huh?
This is the one, and I'll post it in the show notes, but there's actual video footage of him when he supposedly leaves the cell, because there's the shower is metal, like the floor is metal, and there's like a welded cutout square in the shower, and you see El Chapo pacing in the prison cell back and forth, and then he goes into the shower and kind of does a, like when you see someone act like they're walking downstairs behind a couch, like he just kind of walks downstairs in the shower.
So that's where some of that confusion comes in, is like that the other guy in the cell down the way said that can't be El Chapo, because when you're on that wing of the prison, you're required to shave your head like every 10 to 15 days.
That guy had
and
hair.
That dude has like a bunch of hair.
Oh, crazy.
He's like, that guy has a bunch of hair.
here's the other thing, though. I mean, even if this prison wasn't as fucking corrupt as the other ones,
maybe it was the cardinal.
I just don't. Yeah, it was the cardinal. someone with that much power and clout. Are they really forcing El Chapo to shave his fucking head?
That's
are they
I'm
really
saying.
Inspecting yeah. his fucking cell? Like the guy who's the head shaving guy was probably like, he gets a pass. It's fucking right. El Chapo. Yeah. Well, I'm not theory. Fucking.
The other problem is no
head.
One. From anyone outside of the prison or the government has seen that tunnel through to the other side.
Yeah.
They let a documentary crew from Vice go like
look at
part
it.
Of the way in yeah. and look at the motorcycle. And it allegedly goes like 0.97 miles from a construction building over to the prison itself and mm-hmm. up into that fucking cell. And then, but no one.
I don't
one,
see how hard
no
that can be
has,
though. They got tunnels going from Mexico to the U.S.
It's not that
you
it's
know
a difficult
I mean?
Thing. Like, no, it's 5,280 yeah. feet, but it's no one has traversed it and actually filmed and verified that that tunnel connects. Yeah. So they're saying that
still
it's a
skepticism.
Cover because the fucking last warden's in jail. And so it's a payoff. And I'm like, okay, fuck it. We'll do it, but let's dig a tunnel and make it look like I had nothing to do right. with this shit. You're right. not cruising out where we had to open the gate and put you out in a laundry cart. Let's make it look like you went out a fucking tunnel yeah. and then we'll arrange whatever.
But why would you do that?
I mean, why like, not I don't use the tunnel?
Like, I don't understand that conspiracy theory. Yeah. Like
the tunnel's real.
Like,
you use the tunnel.
Like,
you get out at yeah. the construction site.
Well, they're saying like, it might not be because think how much work it is to dig a 1 mile tunnel. You could dig it for 100 feet, dig it for 100 feet, not 6,000 feet or 5,280 feet. You could just dig a little bit and then
they had all
like,
those other gonna, tunnels though.
But no
all
fucking,
those fucking tunnels.
No Mexican DEA showed up. Like they just went 100 yards into the tunnel.
Oh, yeah,
like, yep, looks good.
Yeah. Yep, can't see
well,
the end.
It's about losing face and getting people in trouble again. You know yeah. what I mean?
Who, how'd they know it? How'd they know it went to the construction yard though?
Because there's another tunnel on that side. They're saying that's the other side of the tunnel.
Well, somebody would have had to went through it.
No one's gone through it. That's the thing. Bullshit. If you watch the documentary, well, people have,
yeah.
but no one from a non-biased third party outside source has yeah. seen that tunnel through.
I'm sure it's through.
I
don't know.
So it would be like, yeah, the
wouldn't.
DA is not going to tell on the guy who's in power of the prison because he probably paid, you know, the American government's offering $5 million. That's yeah. like chump change.
But Chapo was paying people off $10 million.
That's what I'm saying.
He gave a guy $10 million and a $5 million bonus just to get his shit back to yeah. get it across the border in time. Right. Like, he ain't fucking around.
Well,
like,
if he gives the warden $20 million to make it all yeah. fucking happen, then the warden goes, okay, DEA, and yeah. everyone that saw the tunnel.
Well, then
no
Chapo says,
in there,
hey, my
guys
are building the
money.
Tunnel. Like, hey, my guys are building the tunnel. They build the tunnel. It's done. Like, I don't see where the conspiracy is. It doesn't seem.
You would think some noise would happen when you have to cut through fucking steel plate in the shower, the echoey fucking shower.
Sneaky Mexicans.
And there's sneaky Mexicans. Those bastards.
It looks like it's welded.
Saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and it's in a fucking the most echoey,
well,
acoustically
you do
nice.
You do a torch cut. I mean, I don't know. You could get away with it. Whatever.
It was Tom Cruise.
It doesn't matter.
He had yeah. one of those suction cup things.
Laser. Laser
yeah. for sure.
Yeah. You know, El Chapo's one of his wife's nickname was, right?
Laser pigeon.
No, El Chapo. She liked to shop a lot. That's what they call her.
She actually owns 25% of QVC.
Yeah. yeah.
Because she bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah, it later changed to late night El Chapo.
Yeah. yeah.
That's what it was.
She owns so much inventory of unopened boxes of Cutco
yeah.
knives.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
So they're yeah. not reselling them. He made her resell some.
So either way, he fucking gets out of jail. And this is so this gets into the final capture, which is the weird Sean Penn thing that happens, right? So like you said earlier, the idea for this story was because Sean Penn, love him or hate him, whatever. I know he's an activist on a lot of different yeah. things.
He's just shouldn't have went full retard. That really fucked up his career.
But
he's strange, man. When I watch him talk in the interview, his voice, I don't know if maybe it was stress or adrenaline or something.
Or drugs.
Or yeah, or leftover all the drugs, yeah. But he like his voice sounds very shaky and strained, almost like he had like a medical condition.
Every time I've seen him, like every time you see him interviewed, he seems really nervous and flighty and
right.
Like that's what I've always seen him come off like that. When I saw that interview, I was like, oh, there's Sean Penn. Like right. I didn't think there was anything weird about it. Cause every time you see him get interviewed, he just looks like he's not even comfortable in his own skin, right. like being in front of the camera and talking to David Letterman
yeah,
like or something.
There was like a severe wavering yeah. in his voice. Mm-hmm. Like it was very shaky. Mm-hmm. It sounded like he was about to get in a fist fight. Like
right.
that whole
right.
adrenaline thing. Yeah.
So
why wouldn't a cokehead want to go find the biggest cocaine right. transporter? That's what I want to know.
Well, so allegedly, according to Sean Penn, he's got massive problems as I think he should, with the way that the war on drugs is run in America, the mismanagement of it, the incarceration of so many fucking people in the United States, the fact that like all the blame is like his, one of his big points was we put all the blame on someone like El Chapo, on someone who's a drug kingpin. And the big push is if we can bust this guy, the drug problem's gone.
Right.
When really the drug problem, yeah, he's like the money needs to be spent on education. The money needs to be spent on prison reform. The money needs to be spent on better fucking laws. The money needs to be. So anyway,
what it is that the money that if they can stop this money coming in, then they get the money.
Right.
Like that's all
If you take out El Chapo, his little brother steps in. I mean, he's in jail right now and nothing stopped. It's right. You should. What would $5 million that reward money do to like, drug rehabilitation or education?
And and he's, you know, he was just saying like, I would like to get this dialogue started in America. And he ends up meeting an actress just completely at a party on a whim. He meets the actress Kate Del Castillo. And Kate Del Castillo was a film and television star in Mexico. She actually played like a big drug lord in a telenovela. But she wrote this crazy message on Twitter in 2012. And I'll read it because it's kind of bizarre and it gets El Chapo's attention. So she writes on Twitter, which obviously was several tweets. And she doesn't know Sean Penn yet. This is just her being an actress. And she says, Mr. Chapo, wouldn't it be cool that you started trafficking with love, with cures for diseases, with food for homeless children, with alcohol for the retirement homes that don't let the elderly spend the rest of the days doing whatever the fuck they want? Imagine trafficking with corrupt politicians instead of women and children who end up as slaves. Why don't you burn all those whorehouses where women are worth less than a pack of cigarettes? Without offer, there's no demand. Come on, Don. You would be the heroes of heroes. Let's traffic with love. You know how to. Life is a business, and the only thing that changes is the merchandise. Don't you agree? So she sends this tweet out.
And she wants old people to get drunk. That part was kind of
weird. That was kind of a weird part,
Her grandma really loved wine and didn't get it in the end.
Yeah.
3 days later, she was assassinated.
Yeah. So, no, actually, a couple of days later, he, like, started writing her letters. And I kept reading, and I forget the initials. It's something they talked over BBT? Mm-hmm. Or some, what the fuck is that?
Don't know.
I haven't, like, it sounded like some kind of a text service or some kind of a.
I think that's a genre on porn sites.
Because even when Sean Penn was talking about it, he was talking a lot about some weird text feature on burner phones from Mexico. So I think, like, they were giving her, and apparently he sent her flowers right away to thank her, but she had just left from one hotel to another as part of filming and she never got the flowers and she never really heard from him. But his lawyers had tried to contact
him. That's kind of creepy. He knew where she was at.
Yeah, pretty much. And then apparently a little bit later, he wanted to reach her again, El Chapo did. And he found her in 2014 through basically the Mexican equivalent of the Screen Actors Guild. That's when they started to become pen pals. So basically through her agent, El Chapo reached out to her and they started writing letters to each other and became friends. And Sean Penn heard all this at a party and wasn't like, he was like, oh, that's a fucking trip.
Well, it's because I don't think El Chapo is like a fucking bad guy. Like we had said in the beginning, you know, he's not just killing to kill. It's out of business. You know, like he's running this business.
Right.
These are things that have to happen.
Right. This is the
In the interview that the Sean Penn this interview, the alleged interview that he gets or whatever, he says, I don't kill to kill. I defend myself.
Right.
You know, he literally says it's just part of business. But there's something like there was some.
Yeah, there's.
Well,
yeah,
there's.
There was some offense for sure.
He kills to kill.
I'm sure there is. But you have to defend what you've built. You know what I mean?
And I'm
built
sure.
A drug empire.
He just looked like a farmer with a fucking AR and a chicken running around. It was pretty crazy.
So he. Through this actress, like Sean Penn and her reach out to El Chapo and they say, you know, we would like to meet and interview you if that's possible. And he pitched the idea to Rolling Stone and Rolling Stone was like, fuck yeah, please do.
Yeah.
So he ends up, reaching out to El Chapo through the actress because she has a way to get in touch with him. And El Chapo agrees. They fly on a privately chartered plane. And they're not told the city that they're flying to. They just show up in some city in Mexico on a private airfield.
How fucking exhilarating would that be?
Oh, fuck. I mean, when he's explaining it in the article, you can tell he was shitting his fucking pants.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
About the fact he was going down here and doing
this. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty brave soul, but that's fucking
dude.
Well, you might crack the wrong fucking joke.
Exactly, dude. Like, and all you got is this actress he likes sitting next to you. And, like, and that's even, your even, only fucking even card
her message.
To play.
Her message, it's either he actually liked it or he's going to send somebody after,
right,
you know?
Like, right.
I would ask him about his web taint.
Yeah, that's right.
For sure.
Yeah. How the taintery is going.
Yeah. So they get to a town, they get put in a car, and Sean Penn describes it, and they're like driving through these fucking jungle roads at like 100 miles per hour.
Did they potato sack
him? And he's just, no, they didn't. He said that he's just shitting his pants because they're driving so fast.
And everybody knows Mexicans can't drive.
That's right.
That's not racist. They just can't drive.
So they get to where they're going, which is another airstrip. Turns out that the driver of the car was one of El Chapo's sons, but he didn't say anything to him the whole time they were driving. They get out. He introduces himself to Sean Penn. They put him on a plane. They fly several more hours, and then they land at just a dirt airfield in the middle of some fucking small village. They show up to a house where he said you could tell a local family had just cooked this really bountiful dinner. He said there was like enchiladas and tacos and the family was still there in the house cooking the food, and that El Chapo came in, the family took off, and they ate and drank tequila. And they said that he, like, I think the I'm paraphrasing, but the line was something like, only once or twice in the 7 hours that we ate and drank and talked was he not smiling and in a good mood.
Right.
Wow. He said, like, and he said that every so often someone
because
would
he
come.
Had a conjugal visit, a bath, and a nap.
Right.
Before
yeah, right. But before.
He followed
right
by before tequila that. And tacos.
He
for
said,
"Who
would not be happy?"
Yeah. He said every time someone would come in and like talk to him and like whisper in Spanish in his ear, and they would talk for a second, his like.
He would get
face,
business.
His
he would
game
go business.
Face would come on.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they took off, he was back to having dinner with his favorite actress and this gringo. And they just sat there and ate. And then apparently, so after dinner.
He's like, you simple Jack.
Yeah.
So he told the other guy.
After dinner, he's told to stay where he is and he can see through the windows. El Chapo escorts the actress to like the best bedroom, like of this weird little
He wants to bone
compound.
Her.
And
she boned him.
He just comes back.
Wow.
And Sean Penn says he walked her straight there, walked straight back. As soon as he got back, everybody who was like casual and at dinner, including El Chapo, gets fucking militaried out. They all put on vests. They all get fucking strapped. Like even El Chapo said, he said that he had a fucking gun on his leg and all this stuff. And like, he said he was still very friendly and he was hanging out. And he said that he and Sean Penn talked until 4 a.m. And then El Chapo said, I have to go now. And he said, hey, can I interview you and ask you these questions? He said that stuff about the Rolling Stone then. He said, but the editors at Rolling Stone really want a picture so they can prove that I was here. So he had his son take a picture with his cell phone, and you can see the picture online of El Chapo and him
awkward.
Shaking hands. Yeah, it's a little awkward. And like El Chapo's in some ugly ass shirt and Sean Penn just wearing a black shirt looking like he's about to shit his pants. And then apparently it got texted to Sean Penn later on one of his burner phones. Like he didn't get the picture at that time. But he said that everybody militaried out and they just bugged out of the compound, and that they told Sean Penn to go to sleep and relax for the night. And then a couple of hours later, they came back and said, this massive storm is coming. We have to leave right now or we're never going to get through the roads. So he drives back through these roads that are fucking flooding out. It's too dangerous to fly. So they have to drive all the way back to the original city where they get in a hotel and fly back to the fucking States. And they say that El Chapo said, I'll let you interview. He wanted to interview him for 2 days, and he said, I'll let you interview, but it's not going to happen right now because that's not part of the plan. So Sean Penn takes off, and then it turns out that he doesn't want to meet again because it's too risky, but he says, if you send me questions
through these burner phones,
I'll answer them. And you can see the full video of him, and it's like there's a chicken in the background, and he's just in the middle of fucking rural Mexico, and he sits down and he answers all the questions
Sean Penn wanted to
say. It's
like a 46-minute video.
Yeah, it's a long –
He took the time.
Long video, yeah.
It sounds like my Mexico trip, though. We fucking landed.
That picture's a little better. That one with the actress.
Oh, that's a lot better.
Yeah, with the actress. Yeah,
he just left her in the bedroom and walked away from that, huh?
Yep.
Nice looking lady. She's not.
So, but then that was on October 2nd.
You think she would have said no? It's Del Chapo.
No, she went there to get some of that Chapo.
she wanted a little shorty. Yeah. But so that was on October 2nd. So when people say, oh, Sean Penn got him arrested. Well, he got arrested in fucking January, like in a completely different part of Mexico. And there really isn't much reason to suspect that anything Sean Penn did led to any kind of an arrest. The Mexican government.
No, because El Chapo was in charge of everything, mm-hmm. all the meetup. Like there's no.
Yeah, he picked the spot.
Yeah, he picked the spot. Well, he sent the people.
And like, obviously he was paranoid enough to say, we're not going to meet up again, Sean Penn.
So I'm sure Sean Penn got patted down. You know, there was no wires or anything like that.
And I'm sure that when El Chapo said, just send me a list of questions, you're not coming back, Sean Penn was probably like, thank fucking God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
His tacos were good.
I think that's good.
And he even said, like, after the actress went to bed or whatever and El Chapo came back and everybody was getting all military, he said that he, like, thanked, like, the entire family. Like they were cleaning up after the dinner and El Chapo went super person respectful. To person and shook all of their hands. And even though they couldn't really speak without a translator, he like indicated to Sean Penn, you need to come over here and shake all their hands too.
Yeah.
They took us into their home and fixed this dinner.
Yeah.
So this whole fucking thing, like pretty crazy. And I mean,
that's a pretty badass photo though. Sean Penn has that in his living room, you know, he does. Fucking yeah, crazy.
And I'll post a link to the Rolling Stone article. It's really long. It's a long article. I'm not going to lie. But it's really fucking interesting. His account of what
Brad's
happened.
Not gonna lie. He's not going to read it. Is it less than 60 pages?
His account is like pretty crazy.
Great picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell what happened.
I'm just going to download a picture of that girl.
Yeah. There you go.
He would.
He ends up getting rearrested. El Chapo does. And I didn't hear many of the details of what the arrest circumstances were.
There's actually GoPro footage of his arrest.
Oh, fuck.
It's fucking gangster. It's like 6 or 7 minutes of just like concussion grenades going off in a fucking... It looks so Call of Duty that I was like, really? Damn. Yeah, it looks so video game because it's a GoPro on some dude's helmet and it like... Our video games have gotten good because it literally at some point I was like, fuck this.
I couldn't tell if it was fake. Is this like the El Chapo the video game?
When you
what are we doing?
When they break into this one room and it's all filled with smoke and shit and they're running off their guns firing, it really looks like Call of Duty. But you can look at that. Just look up GoPro El Chapo arrest or something. And it's the actual video of them fucking rolling in there with their guns and grenades and shit. It's scary.
I think, you know, Sean Penn... Probably after reading the article,
it's like, Sean Pluma.
Sorry, you know, finding out that like I said, like if the storyline's correct in the show I'm watching, he seems like a decent guy, just in the wrong business.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think Sean Penn got that same.
Yeah, you like, really feeling get that. Him, you really know? Get that feeling about.
Yeah,
him,
he's like one of those guys. He's a bad guy, but he's not really a bad guy. Right. You know, type of right. thing. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, once you have that much money, you could flip the switch and use your powers for good. You know, it's the same thing of like.
And that's what that actress was trying to get him to do. You
it's
know?
The same thing of like renewable energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you just fucking switch the industry, you can make just as much money building fucking solar plants and windmills.
And again, I mean. That's the call that she was making. And he says in the interview, and Sean Penn says the same exact fucking thing. And this is like the point he wanted to raise by writing this article. El Chapo doesn't matter.
Right.
You could kill him tomorrow. You could arrest him tomorrow. Nothing's going to change in the drug war.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to fill the vacuum.
Well, it's been
the same
proven.
Shit's going to fucking get smuggled in. Like,
the
and that's the dialogue
drugs,
that Sean Penn wanted
it's like
to
the
have.
War on terror.
The war on drugs actually increases the supply because they have to make, they account for what will be seized.
Right.
And so if you have fucking 500 tons and you know that 200 tons is going to get fucking seized, they make 700 tons.
Right, exactly.
They don't mind making more. They just want to sell 500 tons. So they actually make more drugs to make up for what's going to get seized. It's proven.
And aside from that, because one article I read, which I had never thought of this, I mean, I never thought of this consequence of legal marijuana, but it said that because so many big pot smoking states in the U.S. have legalized marijuana, that it made the cartel's marijuana business completely take a shit.
Right.
Like it's almost a useless crop to them now because the main areas that they would supply are now self-supplying.
Right.
So again, they're smart businessmen, so they started to perfect heroin.
Right.
And they started to realize in America, everybody has these addictions to OxyContin and all these opiate pills. They said, if we can target those people with better heroin, then they're not going to want the pills. They're going to want our stuff because it's cheaper, it's easier to get, et cetera. So
it's better.
There's this huge heroin uptick since the last couple of years, really. And from what I read is that earlier, like it didn't say when, but several years ago, the heroin coming in from Mexico was 46% pure, and now it's 90% pure.
Wow.
And it's why so many people are having fucking overdoses, because they weren't ready for this purity to
be coming. She wasn't ready.
I was going to do that.
Yeah.
So, I was trying to explain to one of my family members that's from a different generation. Mm-hmm. I won't name names, but like when you talk about like weed, so like people used to smoke weed. And
it was your mom, wasn't
back
it?
It wasn't my mom, but in the 70s, you know, they were talking, you know, 60s, 70s, a joint was 15% THC. Yeah. And they're like, no, man, you get the chronic, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be like 30%. And then if you go buy a fucking vape pen, it's 77% THC.
Right.
Like you are it will not fucking.
Yeah.
My buddy Trent got one of those pens, and like that shit, you have to be fucking careful.
Yeah.
So Trent just switched to CBD.
We said you were ready.
No.
And again, supply and demand makes the price of shit drop.
Yeah.
So from what I had read in this same article, several years ago in New York City, a kilo of heroin would sell for about $200,000 at 46% purity.
Right.
Now it sells for about $50,000 a kilo for 90% purity.
What was the first price?
$200,000 for 46% purity, because there's so much more heroin coming in that the supply and demand has shifted. Yeah. Heroin's cheaper.
They could just cut it.
Fuck
you go 90 and now you cut it and it's still like 46%.
It's like it's like fruit punch concentrate. Yeah.
And it said that between 2000 and 2014, 47,000 people have died from heroin overdoses. Just in 2014, 47,000 people died of heroin overdoses, which is more than at any point in American history.
Holy fucking
shit.
That's a lot more than guns.
Like rivaling like fucking heart disease or something. That's crazy.
Yep. And then the other thing is, and you can look into it,
might clean house real quick though, man.
That's true. There's a product called fentanyl. That they also have gotten involved
which is called
the fentanyl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's the synthetic heroin, which is like fucking way more potent than regular heroin. Yeah. And now they're getting into fentanyl as a Sinaloa cartel because they're realizing that's even better than heroin.
Yeah. Right. It's cheaper to make, probably.
Yeah,
too.
It's cheaper to make. They don't need the poppy fields. They can make it in America, right? Because it's synthetic. So, you know,
no need to transport.
Again,
you still get the money.
The point of what Sean Penn was saying, which is El Chapo isn't the key variable here, it's the business, and we need to be, you know, every, like you said, every kid who goes and fucking buys coke from a friend and sniffs it, you're as complicit as El Chapo is in the fucking drug chain, you know. So that was the point that he
just like if
to
you
make,
feed a homeless person, you're helping
homelessness.
That's right.
That's why I didn't give the mammal toe the shoes.
I don't give
so the whole thing is crazy. I recommend looking into the Sean Penn thing. It's pretty weird. The 60 Minutes interview is pretty dope. The interviews with El Chapo were pretty bizarre. The whole thing is just such a fucking weird story. And again, a lot of people just wrongly think, oh, somehow Sean Penn was involved with arresting El Chapo. To be honest, what I think happened was I think the Mexican government and the American government knew exactly where El Chapo was all the fucking time. Yeah. And after everyone lost face because Sean Penn and fucking Rolling Stone found him, they were like, fuck that, arrest his
wrap
ass.
Him up.
Like, we got to do something about it.
Did you know after the alleged capture and killing of Osama bin Laden, El Chapo became the number one fucking sought after, like, America's Most Wanted? Like, next to fucking Osama bin Laden. Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Yep. They should have fucking sick Sean Penn after Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
I think it's all face, though. I think it's all saving face for the American government.
And I think the American government and the Mexican government both. And it's really
the Mexican
bizarre.
Government is just as involved in the drugs as fucking anybody else.
At one point when they're like, and I forget exactly what it was, but they asked Sean Penn, like, aren't you worried that El Chapo's people are going to come after you? And he's like, no, not at all.
Well, at first he said, they put target on me. Like, he said, the American people put a target on me. And then he said, are you fearful for your life? But then he said, no. But he said there is a target on him, though.
Well, no, but the weird thing
American
is...
The American people put it on him.
Right.
Though.
He was saying, like, he said that he's worried about the Mexican government coming after him.
Right.
Yeah.
Not El Chapo coming after him. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because there's probably a lot of shit in that article that didn't get put in that article.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
You know. Yeah.
Primarily that Sean Penn suffers from web taint.
Yes.
That's how
was one of the reasons that he let him
in. They went swimming together and floated the same way.
The reason he left that girl and walked away from the bedroom is because him and Sean Penn hot scissored all night long.
They had to.
Kept growing back and scissoring. They were seeing whose could grow back first.
Yeah.
Crazy. crazy night.
You do it with hot scissors so you don't bleed. I was actually talking about the Mr. Garrison South Park hot scissoring, but hot scissors would cauterize it and it wouldn't bleed if you had to trim your taint.
So yeah, it's a trip. El Chapo, very crazy story. Yeah. Motherfucker and was the rags to riches drug czar that you would think
if,
of.
If you got Netflix, watch the El Chapo series. It seems to be pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty intriguing. So I'm into it.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch the Legend of Shorty or whatever I watched. I wasn't that impressed. It was kind of slow. Yeah. But speaking of hot scissoring, that leads right into hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And who makes hot sauce? El Yucateco, our primary sponsor. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had it.
Yeah, the bottles are short and spicy.
They are short and spicy. That's true. It comes.
They are the El Chapo of hot sauce.
It comes in seven varieties, and you can use it on everything from apparently spaghetti sauce. You can make your macaroni fiesta in your mouth. Or you can even put it on vanilla ice cream, as I've been known to do. I've put it in beer. I've put it on all kinds of crazy shit. A lot of our fans have done some
I think we have different
taste profiles.
Cartels. Okay. Well, I'm saying for I guess we can call them cartels because I'm building the Black Label Cartel.
You are.
You got the Triple X Cartel.
Oh, that's true. I'm a member of the Black Label Cartel.
They're only on your team because they're fucking bitches and they can't handle the heat.
Damn, it's about flavor, Brent.
It's fucking always it's about been flavor. On
it's black. Not about, it's yeah, not about, the best flavors at Triple X.
Not really.
All right. We got to do this. We're going to do this.
This guy, I'm poorly.
Yeah, the shit got weird.
Yeah. This podcast is done.
It's the last episode. When you start
it's a good thing we're already in a basement. Yeah. I don't need to bury the body very deep.
Yeah.
It's probably already.
Stuff you in that room over there.
Yeah.
And then what? That sounds hot.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I like worry the stuffing, about it the dark room.
Yeah. We'll see how good that Black Label is on that pork meat you got over there.
We'll open up the taco shop again and serve you.
Special meat. Special meat. If I got to go, I got to go.
He's happy with that.
I mean, that'd be legend.
He really lit up on that.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh, nice.
I'm down, guys. Two Black Label Cartels just fucking killed me and fed me to people.
Until you disgrace me and you use the Black Label instead of the Triple X.
That's what
we'd
make one sandwich with the Triple X.
If we killed you and served you, we'd serve you a Triple X.
Would you taste me?
No.
No.
Not with Triple X, but Black Label, yes.
Well, you can find El Yucateco at your local grocery store, Target, or Walmart. You can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk if you're outside the United States, or Amazon or eBay. What else? You can eat your friends if you stuff them in a dark room and start a taco shop and murder them.
Yeah.
And use a sauce against their pleasing. I like it all.
And tell us, if you kill your friend and are going to eat them.
What flavor would you
use? Yeah, what flavor profile do you like? I mean, does Caribbean go better with black meat?
Yeah.
You know,
good
like
question.
Black guy meat? Does it, you good know, question. Does Black Label go good with white people? Like what, good you know, question. Let us know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Red with Mexican? Like what are we doing here?
White
we
people need to use know. Chipotle, let's be honest. That's what's
probably.
Happening. Yeah. Spicy barbecue. Yeah. Anyways.
It's a fine product.
Thank you to Brent Dirt Cheap. That's my new company. And
Brent Dirt Cheap, you can rent him on the cheap.
$20, he'll do anything.
Yeah, 20 bucks.
Brent Dirt Cheap. Yeah.
He really loves big dogs.
$20, you got 15 minutes of anything.
Yeah, big dongs. If you can give him stretch marks on your cheeks, you get it for free.
Pretty much. I don't want to look like the Joker when you're done. Thank you to Brent Dirt Cheap. You go to printdirtcheap.com. Wait till you get a load of me. That was my Joker face.
Wait till you get a load in me.
Oh, man. Some people get mad. I just roll with it. So thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. That is another one of our sponsors. You can go to their website and you can use code SOFAKING to save some money on printed items. They do stickers. If you have a new podcast that you've created, I know that Sam Culper and Sam Walsh are coming out with Breakers. It's kind of a cool thing. You'll probably like it, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool.
No, yeah. I'm interested.
Sounds cool. It's probably going to suck balls, but.
You think so?
I don't know.
I've actually heard episode one. It was actually pretty good.
How come I haven't heard it? The hell? What's it about?
You got to be in the group, fool. Should have known, man. Why don't you go to the group? You know, like our own thing.
I'm not a fucking girl. I don't sit there on social media all day long.
It seems to be. It's something right up Dave's alley. Actually, Dave has spoken about doing something very similar to it. A post-apocalyptic, like after the outbreak, you know, after everything has happened, kind of telling of the story of someone that went through the occasion. I don't want to, you know, put labels on it if I'm describing it improperly for them. But it was good. I like it. They've done a good job so far. I think Sam Walsh, one of our listeners and a big time fan, actually wrote a book. And I think it's based off of that. And Sam Culper is reading it with his...
Nice. voice.
Sensual voice. Yep. And then also, I guess, Rob Gomez, longtime fan, they're starting a podcast of sorts. Who's asking me some microphone questions. I don't know what the name of it is or if it's even out yet, but if we find that out, I'll tell you. But my point is that they should both buy stickers from Print Dirt Cheap for their podcast and start giving it to their would-be fans.
Indeed.
Also, thank you to De Leon Graphics. Those podcasts could also have some shirts and koozies made by De Leon Graphics. And so could you if you got something. And if you don't want a whole bunch of shirts because De Leon's going to charge you a minimum, you can get those from Digital Creations. They do heat transfers on t-shirts, mouse pads, koozies, coffee mugs, keychains, all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's how we started.
Yeah.
That's how we started.
Yep.
And they still make our mugs for us. So they can do one-offs like that. You can find them on Facebook or Instagram. If you have trouble contacting them, you can contact me or any of us through Messenger on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll get you in contact. Also, thank you to Dan Camrio Jiu-Jitsu. I said earlier in the week that he has some new gis called the Saint. And so it's actually a Boondock Saints themed gi. There's limited. There's only 55 of them going to be made. I don't know the price on them, actually. I started to dig in, but my knee hurts like an pretty old cool. man, and I'm wavering as if I'm going to crawl back on there. Do I need a fancy new gi to do that? Probably not.
And they're crackhead lips gray. So
they're crackhead lips gray.
Yep. So
that's all I got.
All right. Well,
did you have a patron?
Everybody get patron?
I don't.
All right.
No, that was
you already did yours.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, don't be a retard.
Get the kilos, sequenta per ciento. If you are not bilingual, get the fuck up out of town before we run your ass down. Underground, how I came out. Any nigga try to stop me, let it hang out, let it bang, let it rain out. Woo! Yo soy el Dios, you are Dios, nigga. I am the God. Get a nigga chopped up on a Tuesday, while the club going up on a Tuesday. This is doomsday, I can have Guadalupe come through and knock down a Trump out of his toupee. Woo! Now look at his brains all on the sidewalk. He tucked the 38 and jumped on my Skywalker. Woo! I'm rolling. Shotgun, Claudia, Ochoa. I am only nigga walking through Sinaloa with the blood red Chuck Taylor's on. And you know when I show up, it's a squad full of killer squad, full of hit a squad, full of niggas that'll pull up, let it bark on a nigga. 106 shots bark on a nigga. Street sweeper at the whole block up. Nose park on a nigga. Got two Glock 9s, two 45s, two Desert Eagles, and he fly together side by side. No juego conmigo, tú sabes, amigo. No Tony Montana, mi amigos y kilos. Mi casa, su casa, cuida con el chico. Tú quieres la blanca, yo tengo perico.
Ya te dije, el juego y fuego.
I am the God. El Chapo. I am the God. El Chapo. I am the God. El Chapo. Nigga, I am the God.
Pinche policía, puto, jodiendo todos los días. Cabrón, que si ahora tu familia, mátalo, o mi madre y mi tía.
I'm on a private jet with El Chapo, feet up. Sipping Tecate, about to land for the re-up. Fuck them antennas, we ain't got them tracking devices. The feds, they be watching to see us. Niggas wanna see us, check the IG. I'm in a VIA throwing blood up like an IV. Don't try me, Dej Loaf with the AK. 600 million, 400 million from Dre Day, Pablo Escobar in my heyday, Bringing off coke, that's a payday, On a private jet, that's a mayday, In South America, on a vacay, Be on my snapback, chopping gray, None of these niggas ready for the melee, 100 cal, make his body do the nay-nay. Leave a nigga face worse off than Chanel. Yup, I am the God, I've been telling you niggas. I got a bird and a chopper and a trunk and a key, I will sell it to niggas. We can screw it and chop it, machetes on deck, I will sever you niggas. Behind these bars, I'm El Chapo, motorcycle lot to sell on you niggas.
Escúchame, chinga tu madre, nunca me encontrarás. So para de mirar, no me controlas, te controlo, controlo a todos. Me respetan, no se mueran, soy El Chapo y lento, síganlo.
I am the God.
God.
El Chapo. Nigga, I am the God.
God.
am the killer.